It'll take until November, but Nebraska football is finally part of Big Nude Saturday on Fox with the 11 a.m. Central Time kick for Nebraska and Purdue in West Lafayette. 11 a.m. in West Lafayette. A couple of days after Halloween, go get yourself some. Should be a riveting atmosphere there. What will it be like on Saturday at 2:30 when Nebraska takes on Indiana? I'm sure a guy that has a good feel for that is Mike Schaefer of Husker 24/7. Good Monday, Schaefer.
Good Monday to you, Gary. How is everything going coming into your bye week? First, do you feel ready to go? Are you ready to tackle the task at hand?
I believe I am prepared mentally, physically. I would not be prepared mentally or physically if Nebraska wasn't able to find a way to beat Indiana on Saturday.
Yeah, it. You know, they did the whole one-game season mantra for Minnesota and, you know, just didn't elect to show up for parts of that game. And so I think they got to do it again. I mean, I really think Nebraska has to win this game to have a chance of going to a bowl game. And I actually think a win here could kind of right the ship momentum-wise for them into this last five-game stretch. And they're two-point underdogs, which is probably a fair line. I think it'd be really hard to peg this if you were Vegas. Indiana has been solid at beating teams that they're supposed to beat, and they've been beat by the teams that are supposed to beat them. And so they've kind of taken care of business. You could say Nebraska has done similar. If they would have beaten Colorado, and these two teams have identical 5-2 records with wins over the teams they're supposed to have beaten, I think they're pretty similar. I know that Nebraska fans are probably down on their team at the moment, but I think this is a winnable game, and they're going to have to figure out how they can do it. And what seems like will be absent some playmakers for them.
Doesn't it also seem like a game looking at, you know, you don't know who's going to be the quarterback of Indiana, but whether it's Penix or Ramsey, they're able to throw the football. They got Stevie Scott in the backfield. I think we always talk about this every offseason. Man, Indiana's got a good group, but they're Indiana. They'll beat the teams they're supposed to beat. They'll lose to the teams they're supposed to lose to. And then at the end of November, they'll fight to get into a bowl game. But looking at what Indiana does well offensively, and looking at where Nebraska's issues are offensively, how many points are you thinking Nebraska's going to have to score to have a chance in this game?
I think they probably have to be in the low 20s to have a chance to win this game. I don't think you can win this like you did Northwestern or Michigan State last year. I think this is a game where the offense is going to have to put up points, and I think they will. I do think the bye week is going to be helpful for them. You know, if I had to guess on this show right now, I think Adrian Martinez will be their quarterback on Saturday. Not anticipating Wandale joining him. But I think they're going to be able to find some points. I trust that the staff is going to have not necessarily long-term guaranteed to work fixes, but they'll have some things that they'll have focused on and locked in on for the short term. And I think that they're going to do better against Indiana. Now, to me, their Nebraska defense has to play significantly better than it did against Minnesota and Ohio State. This is a challenge more in line with what Colorado was with the offense. And so I think Nebraska's defense is going to have to limit Indiana as well. And if they can make this a game where just both teams are in the low 20s, I think Nebraska has a fair shot at it, which, again, special teams is going to factor into that too. And that's an area we never talk about enough, but Nebraska has been outright bad for the most part there.
All right, so what will be a thing that you and you think other people should look for right away on Saturday as a sign of, okay, they had time off and they were able to work on blank, whether it be mentally or physically?
Well, I don't know if there's enough.
Because I think one is energy.
Well, yeah. I mean, you want them to start off better than they certainly did against Minnesota. But here's the thing. The offense started well. They went down the field, they drove, they stalled out inside the, 30? Of Minnesota because they don't have a kicking game. I mean, the defense was much of the issue in Minneapolis. The offense under Noah Vedral, I thought, you know, they weren't perfect, and the issues that they have of consistency are very much there, but they were able to move the ball at times. And it wasn't an energy issue on that end of the ball. It was more so why the defense seemingly came out as flat as they did and then couldn't raise its level, which kind of surprised me more than anything else. So, energy is definitely something that you want to see from them. And here's the thing, if you can't find it to be ready to go at home against Indiana in what is very much a fight for your season type game, I mean, you're just not going to have it. No. And so I guess I would expect that they come out ready to go on Saturday, at least in terms of energy-wise. To me, it's more so, I guess, when I'm looking at your question, it's more of, are we going to see different personnel? And I really don't know the answer to that. I would think yes, but I'm curious as to what areas they try to do that with.
All right, so the elephant in the room all weekend, everybody got asked about it. I'm sure it was crazy on your board at Husker 24/7. Doesn't Scott today at 2 o'clock have to, in an opening statement, address Maurice Washington, whether he's here, he's not going to play or not going to play?
I think so.
Because this is really, this is like blown up, like it's taken off in 72 hours.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, that's just the nature of not having media availability, a volatile player and personality in Maurice Washington. I can't sit here and profess to know the answer of what Scott Frost is going to say. And it may be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he may not have an answer because I don't know if there's anything that he is going to answer, if that makes sense. I mean, the rumors exist and we can acknowledge that they exist, but how Nebraska chooses to handle them is widely going to depend on how they're handling the situation at hand with Maurice Washington, and we know they don't want to say a whole lot. So we'll, certainly he'll be asked about it, what he chooses to say, and if they just address it right up front are two different things.
All right, it is the 21st of October. Minnesota is one of a few unbeaten in the country. Wisconsin just lost at Illinois. A month from now and a week, we're going to have the Big Ten West champion. Who will it be?
I picked Minnesota before the
season. I know you did. I'm trying to get you to change.
I'm going to stick with Minnesota. I'm just going to stay with it. I think they could beat Penn State when they play Penn State. I think they could beat Wisconsin when they play Wisconsin. I don't know if they will. They got to get to the month of November in which they have those four games that include Iowa and Northwestern as well. And I guess I wouldn't be shocked if they go 3-1 in that stretch. And Wisconsin might have two conference losses, and that would push them out. But I at this point, think Minnesota is going to win the division.
What do you think happened to Wisconsin on Saturday?
Well, I mean, it sounds simplistic, at least from the offensive side, similar to what happened with the Detroit Lions on Monday night. They had opportunities to punch in scores, and they continued to kick field goals. And so from offensively, they just didn't put up enough points. I was very surprised that Illinois looked comfortable moving the ball. And, I mean, Brandon Peters was far from great on Saturday, but he made some big throws. They hit one 48-yard touchdown pass. He hit another 29-yard touchdown pass to Josh or Mader Bebe, the one that beat DiCaprio Boodle. So Illinois has some talent. I give a lot of credit to their defense for forcing Wisconsin to earn everything that they got offensively. They didn't give up giant chunk plays. They didn't. I mean, when they did, they resettled themselves. They played well. I didn't get to see all of the game, but I watched the first half and then went back and watched some of the highlights. And it's, they came out and gave Wisconsin everything. Wisconsin probably looking ahead a little bit. Could have been a trap game, if you will, and they just caught them on the right day. It's funny to me because they never feel like you see Nebraska have that kind of success. Maybe Michigan State in 2015, but there just aren't a lot of days where it feels like Nebraska just catches a team as good as Wisconsin when they're off, and you see it happen for Illinois and Lovie Smith, and a lot of credit goes to the Illini for that. And he might have just saved his job for next year.
See, I was just talking in the last segment. I think if I'm the athletic director and I'm trying to decide, one, we got to get to a bowl, but I'm looking at the Nebraska and the Purdue game almost as much weight as Wisconsin, because I think they'll look at Nebraska and go, that's a game we should have won, and they'll look at this weekend against Purdue, that's a team that where they're at and where we're at, we should beat. I think he uses those two games as kind of a judge right now where Lovie's program is at.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And a few weeks ago, I thought that there was a chance they could be playing Northwestern with five wins and have an opportunity to make a bowl game. I think that they have made strides from where they were when Lovie Smith got there. But the problem is it feels like it's either taken too long or he doesn't have the answers on the offensive side of the ball. And that's really kind of what it has come down for me, is that when you look at Illinois, they've really struggled offensively at times, other than when they had A.J. Bush. So maybe Isaiah Williams is going to be the answer to that. Right now it's Brandon Peters. Right now they've they're an interesting 3-4 win team. We'll see if it grows from there.
Hey, let's shift to recruiting. How do you think the staff feels about right now where they are in recruiting for 2020?
I think they feel okay. They certainly picked up from where they were at over the summer, and they're sitting at 14 commits now, and I'm projecting them for around 23, so they could be on either side of that number, one or two, but I expect them to be into the low 20s. And from there, they've got still some spots that they've really got to hit. They got to go find that big body wide receiver. They hope that's Omar Manning. They got to go get some linebackers. They're hopeful that it can be people like Caden Johnson out of Minnesota or Shea Brian Strother. And those are some real key areas that they have to address. And so I think they put themselves in pretty good spots this weekend against Indiana of a 2:30 kick. They'll have an opportunity to host a few people. Mm-hmm. There's a kid out of, is it pronounced Fahokee, Florida?
Yes.
You're our Florida expert here. So I know that that's the city where they do the rabbit chasing. I think it was Anquan Bolden was part of that. But there's the defensive end or outside linebacker type, Lottery, that is set to visit this weekend. Coming from there, I don't think he'll be the only one. I think there'll be a few more names we add to that list as well. But they're trending in the right direction. They got to keep their class together a little bit, too. They've got some guys that have been pretty good senior film players. I think they're going to get some evaluation jumps on as well.
Do you think this will, after what they've seen this year, maybe a little bit more of a shift or a stronger push for some of the junior college guys they've already been in contact with?
I don't think they will. I mean, some of this is based on some conversations I've had with some people. I mean, in certain spots, wide receiver, yeah, they're probably going to look for Omar Manning, and that might be the only one they take. Maybe cornerback, because they want to replace Lamar Jackson with someone that plays like Lamar Jackson. That's where you see Brian George or, Nadab Joseph, or there was another guy they just offered this weekend from Hutch. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But I could see those spots where they want to go and get a junior college player. I don't think they're going to go get a junior college offensive lineman. I mean, I think they have one spot left. It looks like it's going to be Chandler Durham. If it's not him, then maybe you end up with Kobe Rios, who is a junior college offensive lineman. But I think they really want to go into four-year player development. I think that's kind of an emphasis of some of why you're not seeing a lot of these guys burn their red shirts this year. And I think they want to take some time and give the extra year and develop these players. And I think they're kind of shying away from the junior college. And if you look at 2018 transition class, I mean, you've essentially gotten nothing out of Greg Bell. You've gotten very little to nothing out of Mike Williams and Jaren Woodyard. Deontay Williams was good in his role last year and got hurt on like the ninth play of the season this year. So they've gotten so little out of their actual junior college recruiting at this point. Will Honus has been fine. He hasn't been a transcendent player that – I don't know if they're just going to look at this season and think we got to slap a bunch of junior college guys in here to fix holes, more so than we've really got to develop and figure out what areas we have to aggressively pursue players at and continue to develop in them in a 4 or 5 year path.
Yeah, that's why I'm right there with you about preserving 2019 and not burning guys unnecessary. That's the Ramir Johnson moving forward. I'll be very curious to see if what his usage rate is or if there's any usage at all. Because he's a guy that with the way they've talked about him, I would have thunk that by now we'd be close to going over the four, and then it'd be like, yep, agreed. It's okay.
Agreed. And at this point, I guess what I kind of wonder, and I don't know his health status. I feel like he's been a little banged up. He didn't travel to Minnesota. But Wyatt Mazur can give you, I think, everything that Ramir Johnson can. I mean, that's a guy that I think that's where you kind of have to lean on some of that walk-on depth. No, he's not going to be a superstar for you. But I think he can give you what Ramir Johnson does. Miles Jones, I think, can give you what Ramir Johnson can. I would like to see them use some of those guys and see what they have there before they run out and burn any of these redshirts. And I kind of think that's the way that they're operating, too, because I get the feeling they really kind of want to just fill this with as much depth as possible and only use the guys that they knew were going to play over four games for them in the first place. The people on the bubble, they'll shy again.
Great stuff. Kudos to the Vikings. Ever since the apology, Cousins has turned it around.
Yeah, well, they figured out that they have to have the forward pass in their offense a little bit more. And now, they just decided they're going to throw for 330 every week. So they're a schizophrenic team. I find myself very frightened by Washington for some reason this week. that 16-point line makes me think of the Bills last year. I was at that game. I don't want to experience that on Thursday. So we'll see. They win. They get your Chiefs next.
I know.
Which we'll see which quarterback is going to be after that.
Yes. All right, Schaefer. Have a great week. We'll see you on Saturday.
All right. Thanks, Gary. Have a good one.
Mike Schaefer from Husker 24/7. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike J. Schaefer. Mike's got their house in order. It's a Thursday night game at U.S. Bank Stadium. Maybe the cable went out at Schaefer's place yesterday. He didn't get to see any of the Redskin Niner game.
I was just about to say, I can't believe you.
But how about this? The Redskins didn't score and they still covered. Yeah, that's going to be bad Thursday night football. 11:52. It's halftime on a Monday. Lots more on the back end about Nebraska's matchup with Indiana. More of your brags and bitches on Brag and Bitch Monday. And around college football will go. And a lot of stuff out of the Alabama-Tennessee game, whether it be the injury to Tua or Jeremy Pruitt grabbing the face mask of his backup quarterback late in the game. Good thing, bad thing? I think you can dress me down. You can cuss at me. I can take that. But when there's a hand on me, that might be a gots-to-go situation. A lot of fallout through the college football world with old school and young school responses to what Jeremy Pruitt did. 11:53, there's George. I'm Gary. It's the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.